It's 5:06 and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later in the program, we'll talk roundabouts. Proposed legislation would give local governments more say in where traffic circles are placed or not placed at all. We'll take your calls on how you feel about roundabouts coming up after 5:30.
First, the Food and Drug Administration is weighing approval of a new fertilization technique that uses the DNA of three people to create an embryo.
Scientists think this procedure could help women who carry DNA mutations for conditions like blindness or epilepsy and could let them have children without passing on those conditions.
But as with the case with any new reproductive science, there's controversy over the procedure, and some say it will amount to genetically modified babies. Here to tell us more about the procedure and some of the issues surrounding it is Arthur Kaplan. He's the director of the medical ethics at NYU Langone Medical Center. Arthur, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So at first glance, the idea of a three-person embryo, in effect a child with three biological parents in a way, it sounds kind of radical, is it?
It does. It sounds kind of yucky, spooky, other technical, ethical terms. But I don't think we should view it that way. I don't. What the procedure is some people are born with faulty power sources in their cells. Every cell, if you remember back to your biology textbook in high school, you knew that cells divided and growth was cell division.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you need batteries. You need electricity to power that process. It just doesn't happen. And the mitochondria are these little power packets or batteries that are in every cell. When you're born with a defect in one of those, it either kills the baby or it causes terrible diseases that have some of the symptoms that you just mentioned, blindness and epilepsy. These are the mitochondrial diseases. So you can't just fix, if you will, blindness. You are going to be fixing a small number of diseases of these batteries or power packs. How do you do it? You take a normal egg, not an embryo, just an egg, remove the mitochondria from that and put them into the egg of a woman who's had a child with these problems before, knows she's at risk, and you replace them. That's not so radical. It sounds like a pretty moral thing to me. You're going to be doing a therapy.
Uh-huh, so you've got two there.
Yeah, you got two there, and then you're going to fertilize the egg, just like in the good old everyday world of sex. So that's the dad, and that's the third one. But the mitochondria are always inherited from the mom. So moms are going to be the ones whose eggs have to be, if you will, fixed with a, think of it as a mitochondrial transplant, kind of like an organ transplant. We're used to livers being transplanted and kidneys. Down at this tiny level, even though it does involve three people, you're going to transplant a small amount of a cell into an egg and produce a healthy child.
Now, in a recent interview, you referred to what you just described, that procedure, essentially a three-person IVF, as a kind of therapy. What kinds of conditions do you see this treating right now and being used therapeutically?
You know, it's been a little confusing if listeners are paying attention to the news coverage. You get this implication that you could treat all kinds of things this way, but you can't. And the reason I say that is this just repairs the diseases that are associated with these little power packs or mitochondria. We're not yet using a technique that you could go in and change a gene in the cell's nucleus. That is the business part of the cell. Remember that donut place in a cell where everything else resides? The only thing you can fix with this are rare diseases, maybe one in, 6,500, 7,500 women have this problem. That's it. Now, the diseases are terrible. When they do occur, as I said, they either cause the death of your child or all kinds of complications, including the epilepsy and the blindness. But that's it. We're not to the point yet where we can pick up, if you will, other genes and insert them into other places where we want to try and fix other things. We do that a little bit in the body, but we don't know how to do it yet in the egg.
Now, as I understand it, this technique has already been used to produce some 30 babies, and then it was halted, and now we are fast forward where we are today, and the FDA is looking at it. What happened?
The change was that we had a whole set of experiments done with monkeys, and they've turned out with these mitochondrial transplants to produce normal offspring, not just babies, but watching them for a year, 2 years, they look fine. So the difference is animal studies. When those experiments you're talking about were done almost 15 years ago, there wasn't any effort to do them in mice or monkeys first. Now we've done that, so I think people are a little more convinced that you can do it and do it safely.
Now, to jump ahead to what critics are saying about this, some concerns that have arisen, and not just among lay people, but among scientists, geneticists, they're talking about maybe opening the door to designer babies, tampering with human genes. And there are, it's worth pointing out, some 40 countries that have banned this. Is this a fair thing for people to have worries about?
I think it is something to worry about. Let me see if I can make clear what the concern is. It isn't just transplanting mitochondria from one egg to another. That's not going to get you perfect babies or designer babies. It might fix a disease in a small number of women who have this mutation in their egg that causes diseased children. But for a long, long time, scientists, doctors always said, you know, when we do genetic changes, one thing we're never going to do, never, is do changes that could be passed on to our offspring. Well, the mitochondrial transplant is passed on to your offspring. That's what the concern is. It's breaking the rule that you're not going to do changes that future generations would inherit. So let me see if I can say it a different way. The current technique won't lead us to make perfect babies. It just leaves us with a technique that we can use therapeutically on a tiny number of families that have these terrible genetic problems. The principle, don't do anything that could be inherited, that's getting broken in this experiment. That's what's causing the concern.
And in essence, the concern that we won't know the possible consequences until maybe decades later, maybe until these kids grow up. And it sounds like that data isn't in yet.
Data isn't in, and to be honest, it won't be in for a long time. If you really want to make sure this thing is safe, not only do you want to make sure you get a healthy baby and monitor the children made using this technique for a couple of years, you're probably going to want to see what their offspring are like. Well, I have to say, that's too conservative a policy for me. I think given how horrible the diseases are, trying to fix them, even if you had health problems two, three generations later, I think it'd be worth taking that risk that might happen, partly because you have to take some risk when you're pioneering a new technique. You just do. Nothing's 100% safe. And partly because if we're talking two, three generations later, maybe they'll have fixed out how to fix whatever it is that we gummed up.
Well, we're talking right now with medical ethicist Arthur Kaplan about a new fertilization technique that would create three-person embryos. And we want to hear from you on this. What do you make of this process? And would you like to see the FDA approve this? Or do you have ethical concerns about modifying human genes? You can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. We're talking with medical ethicist Arthur Kaplan right now about a new fertilization technique that would create embryos with three genetic parents. You can join the conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. And we're wondering, do you see this as a scientific advancement for good, or do you have ethical concerns? 1-800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. And let's go right to our callers now. We have Amy on the line from Milwaukee. Hi, Amy.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I was calling. I have mitochondrial disease myself, unspecified, and I had a later diagnosis, but do have a lot of serious organ involvement issues, and I do have children. I didn't know I had the disease until after I had children, so I do feel that it's a good option for families to have with all the concerns that come along with the different mitochondrial diseases.
So, Amy, if this had been available when you were thinking about having children, would you have considered it?
Possibly knowing what I know now, because I definitely have concerns. My children currently don't show any symptoms, but there obviously is a very high risk that they will. So knowing what I know now, most likely I would have definitely at least considered it and learned more about it.
Okay, well, thank you so much for calling up, Amy, and for sharing your story with us. Arthur, Amy sounds like the kind of person that we're talking about, that you're interested in as you look at this new technology.
She really is. You're basically saying, look, there's a difference between therapy and what, let's call it cosmetic genetic engineering or even eugenics. I don't want to hold people like Amy and her family hostage because we're worried that we can't stop going down the slope once we open the door to trying to do genetic repairs. If we want to close that door, then let's make a rule that says you can treat clear-cut diseases, but you can't use these techniques to improve or try to seek perfect babies. We can make a difference between saying, I want freckles and I want to fix a disease. But asking Amy and people like her to say, well, you can't fix a problem because we can't control ourselves later, I don't think that makes ethical sense.
So it seems like there are two prongs to the criticism going on. One is the designer babies option, and you just dismiss that, worried that people will want to pick eye color, intelligence, mm-hmm. other characteristics. And the other is geneticists, some in the science community who are worried that their children will be, these children with the three-parent IVF will have inherited traits from genetic therapy from this technique. And that seems a bigger concern. What if things show up down the road that we hadn't anticipated?
Well, remember, again, we're talking about this teeny little part of the cell right now, just for this experiment called the mitochondria. It has 37 genes. Some of them, when they don't work right, cause that little battery or power pack to break down. That's it. So what you're talking about is not, ooh, I might be more like the donor mom because I might pick up some traits or behaviors. All you're getting is the genes that run this little energy system. It's like you're getting the power plant. And I understand the concern, and I think it would be a legitimate one. It's just not part of this technique. Safety? Yeah, that's a worry. Getting the donor's traits passed along by just transplanting mitochondria? Nope, that's not how the biology works.
Now, when we're talking about safety, what are we talking about exactly? That the children who have been conceived with this technique could one day develop serious illnesses or death, or is there something else?
Exactly. No, that's it. So you know that in families there are mitochondrial diseases, but as we just heard, Amy is alive. She has some problems or symptoms from her disease, but she's got a mild case. So there she is. What if you do these transplants and for some unknown reason the power packs don't work and every embryo is either a spontaneous abortion or dies very, very young? Now, we haven't seen it in the primate studies. Remember, that's the new data we have. That's what's causing the hearing. But they're very limited. I think if there are 10 of those primates that have been made this way, it's a lot. It's not like there are hundreds. So you are taking a risk that, you know, as much as it looks like it works there and you feel confident that you can make this happen, something could really go wrong and make things worse.
Well, I'm going to take another caller now. We have Becca, who's joining us from Rice Lake now. Hi, Becca.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just first wanted to say thank you so much for doing this research. I think it's really important for just science, just to keep moving forward. And I just wanted to reiterate the fact that this is not a designer baby problem at all, because it's not replacing any of the genetics that would be visibly effective on a child or a subject. And I just think that it's really important for people to really understand that fact, that this is actually going out there to help the health of a child. It's not at all, you know, saying I want a child with black curly hair or freckles, like you said. It's actually going to better our, you know, the genetic pool in the future. And I think it's important to take the issues at hand that you're talking about in a responsible manner and make sure that we vet those properly before we continue with them. But I'd like to just once again say that it's not saying I'm going to have a kid with blue eyes. It's actually talking about a health problem.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling up, Becca. And Arthur, that sounds like exactly what you're saying.
It is. She's got my argument down pretty well. We're not yet there to changing the genes that control the things we care most about in terms of our children, their behavior, their traits, their aptitudes, their skills. If we do this experiment, we are breaching the line that says, well, we promise never to change things that you could inherit or pass along to offsprings and future generations. That's true. I have to say I never liked that rule anyway. The reason I never liked it was exactly this case. Sometimes you want to change genes that are inherited because you really can fix a disease. So we got to proceed carefully here. I'm not in favor of eugenics. I don't know that we want to see parents running around saying, my kid's going to be a violinist, and that's what I'm going to design. And I don't know that we have the money to really spend on that when we have so many diseases and unmet healthcare needs right now. But holding these kids hostage and these families hostage to a fear that we can't block or stop the eugenic move, it just doesn't seem right to me. I think, you know, as was said, you got a pretty simple procedure here. I don't mean simple, easy, but straightforward. You're not changing much about the offspring. You could restore health.
And we'll leave it on that note. Arthur, thank you so much for joining us today
and
helping
so
talk
much.
About this. Arthur Kaplan is the Director of Medical Ethics at NYU Langone Medical Center.